Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Aquaman!
We weren't going to do it tonight, so I'm like, I'm about to start that shit. I guess I just lost my husband. I don't know where he went. So I'm going to drink my money. I'm not going to pay his rent. I got a
I'm going to get in trouble. I want to start a fight. I want to start a fight. Case of world domination. Break glass.
Well, if he's got to wear a shirt, it might as well be low cut.
Thanks for that insight, Ben. Welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
And I'm Ben, the baby brother and your sunshine into Gotham. This is the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers, the three of us, get together to talk about Batman. Today we will be reviewing the first seven issues of Harley Quinn's very first ongoing series, debuting in December of 2000.
Yay, there's lots of Batman in this. As you said, we were a Batman podcast.
There was very little Batman and I loved it, but we'll talk about that. But first...
Nice choice on the intro song. I was trying to figure out what you were going to play before we started, and that is an obvious choice.
On the phone, so
our mom?
Hello.
She said fine and dandy, fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy, fine and dandy.
8 pounds of strawberries. That's a lot of strawberries.
So anyways, this is a podcast where three brothers get together to talk about Batman. We reviewed Harley Quinn 1-7. This is collected in trade, jokes, knock knock?
Preludes and knock knock jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's been going on in y'all's geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or I'll
what do you think you're doing,
you.
Nerd?
Stop spending
get
all
those
your
words!
Nerd!
Nerd! Nerd!
Or I swear to God,
geek.
You're gonna spend your 20
geek.
Years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Let's talk about strawberries.
Strawberries. Strawberries are going on. I don't know. We've been busy. We went, we bought the D&D movie, Honor
H-D-N-D.
Among Thieves.
How was that?
It was really fun. I think the kids enjoyed it. I think Kelly enjoyed it. I thought it was good. If you played the game, there's a lot of little Easter eggs for players, and the way that they wrote some of the NPC characters were pretty funny on how those were portrayed. But if you also haven't played, it was just a fun watch. So I definitely recommend it.
Had you guys seen it before you purchased it?
No, we purchased it on Amazon for streaming. So
nice. Figured.
Sometimes it's easier to do that than rent it.
Well, it's going to be on Paramount or one of those services. And I was like, I'm not paying for another service. So I'd rather just buy the movie. They can watch it on Amazon because we'll just keep that one forever.
Well, it's not bad. You know, $14, $15 to purchase the movie on your streaming service. I mean, that's, you know, half price of going to the theater and seeing it, so
right
it's not too bad.
And the way it takes my family to go through a movie is you can just take the runtime and add another hour plus.
Fair. Now you can watch it at your own speed.
Exactly, yeah. So with bathrooms and popcorn breaks, and by the time someone sits down, someone else needs to get up, and I'm like, yeah, I'll get one go before it's like time to
patience running strong in your household, mm-hmm. Aaron.
I have not seen the D&D movie, but I am very excited to. I wanted to try to get to the theater and never made it. So
yeah, I understand how that is.
I'll go. I told you guys before I went, I didn't tell you what I thought of it, but Josh and I got to go see Black Panther at the Symphony. It was the first movie, and I don't know if you've done any of those Symphony movies, but
I haven't done one.
They have it. You have not?
I have.
Oh, they're so cool. I had never done one before, but they play the movie on the screen. And what was really neat about this one was a guy that actually worked on making the music for the movie was there, and he had his little African drum, and so he was playing the drum along with the symphony.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That was really neat, and I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
Was that your first time seeing one of those?
Mm-hmm. I've done like I did the Final Fantasy one where they played all the music, but that was just, you know, cut scenes or whatever. But I've never actually watched a movie. It was interesting how you kind of like lose yourself in the movie, and then every once in a while, like, oh, there's like people playing live. We had good seats, so I, looking up, didn't see them in my peripheral the whole time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, but it was cool. It was fun.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. I did a Harry Potter one.
Yeah, we did one of the Harry Potter ones, too. Yeah. It was enjoyable. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Anything with decent score and lots of thematic segments makes it pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. The fight scenes on that like water thing where they're like battling it out to see who can be king or whatever. Yeah. Super dramatic. But I hadn't seen the movie in general since it came out. I was wondering if you had,
because we've watched that one, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. We've seen it on Disney.
Oh, it's great.
Whatever the kids put on. And it's like, okay, you know, even if you pick up parts of it. But if you haven't seen it in a while, then that's probably a pretty good experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have not seen the second one yet.
Not great.
Yeah, that's why I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
This whole phase, I feel like, is just confused. But that's okay.
Yeah. I talked about last time we recorded that I had a work conference up in Chicago to go to, and I have finished that and mostly recovered from 3 very full days of work. But my family came up to visit at the end of the week, and we stayed the weekend in Chicago, which was a lot of fun. We took Bat Baby and Noah to the aquarium for... It was the first time Bat Baby had been to the aquarium. He dug that.
Mm-hmm.
And last time we went with Noah, we weren't able to see any of the shows because everything was still quarantined off.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see the dolphin shows and stuff like that. That was nice. Cool. But on the way out of town, we decided to hit up a couple comic book and toy stores. And I'm going to plug 2 of them that we stopped at, which kind of blew my mind.
Uh-oh.
One of them was cool. It's called Geek Toy Hut. Near Mount Pleasant, Illinois, and it's just a neat toy store. It's all vintage stuff, loose figures, a lot of like old cool on card stuff that, you know, like that, all the DC Total Justice figures and a bunch of other stuff that we used to collect.
Were these stores you'd been to before?
No, we just were leaving. We went to breakfast, and instead of going to do another activity on Sunday, we decided to take a slow trip home and stop at a bunch of stores. But
it's just a great way to do it. It's just like not be in a hurry to get home, get your breakfast, make stops. It breaks a drive up. It's for kids especially and people that drink too much coffee and have to pee every 5 minutes.
That's a great plan. There's a store in Mount Pleasant, Illinois, if you ever find yourself there, called Games Plus. It is the most packed, full offering of a board game RPG store that I have ever seen in my
Your
life.
Eyes were closed for a really
long
time.
Yeah, they were going back in his head a little bit there.
It was like it's what I do for a living, right? I talk to these stores and I'm involved with stores like this, but I had never heard of this place before, and going in, like, I was awestruck.
Hmm.
They had every role-playing game, every board game, every miniature game. Nice. It's that kind of stuff that they did a little bit of dabbling in, like Pokemon and Magic cards, but the board gamer in me was just, I couldn't even like figure out what to look at. There was so much stuff.
Did you get a chance to talk to them, like find out how long they've been around? And
They're definitely a customer that the company that I work for deals with, but just not in our region. Mm. So.
Did you? How long until you asked for Zombicide's expansion when you were there?
I mean, I own them all. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I found them when I was there. I was like, oh, yeah, I could always use more zombies. No, but I mean, they had some stuff that, you know, have seen a lot of places, but they had like every expansion for games. They had a really cool pirate game that Noah and I were like carrying around the store, and then we'd put it back on the shelf, and then we'd go get it, and then we'd carry it around.
Did you get it?
We did not get it.
No.
We decided that it was too expensive.
But. I understand. Mm. Well, as a pirate game, though, you should have just taken it. That's the spirit of the game.
It's just plunder. It's huge. I mean, like, the box was like 2.5 feet. I mean, because it's called Blood and Plunder, and it's a miniature-based pirate game where you move around the ocean in boats, and then you have to board each other in battle.
I'm imagining the boats are pretty large.
Yeah, they were, you know, 6x9 after you put them together, so they're pretty cool looking. So
Next time.
Sarah probably was just shaking her head as she walked around with Bat Baby.
No, she bought more than I did.
Oh, okay. So
she is a part of the problem.
That's fair.
It's just a loving, enabling relationship.
Yeah. So we did it go crazy. I did get Noah a role-playing game, a pirate role-playing game, and it's just like a one-book kind of thing. And then got a couple exit games and stuff like that. We like the exit games.
Those are fun. Yeah. Those are good, like, Saturday nights if everybody's around and there's nothing you want to watch kind of games.
Yes.
Is an exit game like a escape room in a box?
What it is.
Nice.
Those are the ones that you have to, like, destroy the game, like, to figure it out, which are really cool. I like.
Sweet.
All right. Should we talk about some Harley Quinn?
Sure.
We sure took a long time to get her on this podcast, and now we're talking about her a whole lot.
Yeah.
So this...
Are you complaining that we now have too much Harley Quinn?
I'm not complaining. Let me talk. Let me vibe. Let me podcast. I will be complaining during this episode, but for now, Harley Quinn got... So she was created in 1992, and then almost 10 years later has her own comic book. But it happened very, very quickly after being introduced to our continuity. So I thought that was super interesting. This is by Carl Kessel. Carl Kessel, who has done some Superman and some Superboy that we have read on this pod so far. And this is the journey of her stepping out on her own away from the Joker, getting some of her own henchmen, some supporting cast, bonding more with Poison Ivy, and really just diving into all of the Gotham supporting cast other than Batman. So, yeah. Had either of you read this before?
I had not, no. Jake,
I definitely hadn't read the all seven issues that this first trade collects. I read the first issue. That did feel familiar. And maybe... the second one, because it has Two-Face in it. So, but that one didn't really strike me as being familiar. So I think maybe I've only ever read, because in my collection I only have issue one, single issues. So
I bought these when they came out because I love me some Harley Quinn, and this is a series that I was collecting, and then I stopped collecting, because I never fully got into it. So I was really, really excited when we got to this in continuity, because I hadn't read it since then, and I wanted to see how I felt about it again. And obviously, I'm not just going to say all my feelings right now, but I'm excited to talk about it. So it opens up with the animated style art, and then almost never goes back to it through the seven issues. So that was an artistic choice that I wasn't a big fan of.
Okay, yeah, that was odd that it kind of...
They hint at it throughout, but it, like, very, very minorly. And I think it would have been really cute if there was like a little animated Harley like at the end of every issue making a comment or something. But it only does it like three out of the seven issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like in like manga where you have like a little chibi version of her running around. Mm-hmm. And that would have been fun, but it wasn't consistent enough. I don't think it was until issue six where we got the art switch from the more traditional comic style back to the cartoony animated style, and then it was like flip-flopping every two pages. I'm like, oh, this is driving me insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't find it that distracting, but it was kind of took you out of it a little bit when they switched so much on that.
Luckily the coloring wasn't terribly dramatic. Like the coloring throughout all of the issues is very bright and bold. It's got heavy inking and everything. I really like Terry Dotson's art style. I think it fits the character. I think she's fun, yet it feels different than the cartoon version, so it feels like the comic book version of Harley Quinn.
Which is what this is, and I think that's why it's very challenging. So before this, there's the Catwoman ongoing series, which Catwoman is she good, is she bad? That's always been the narrative. But here, Harley's just a villain. So it's a villain getting her own book just because she's popular. And so I think there's really a lot to like look at. I loved the initial idea of it starts with the cartoon and then transitions.
Right.
But how old was I? Little 14-year-old Ben, when it made the transition, was like, ooh, I don't like this art. Ooh, I'd rather just be reading the cartoon version. I do agree with you, Jake, though. I think it does fit. It's Harley in the real world, mm-hmm. but she's such a like fantastical character that I would have preferred a more fantastical art. And I think there are Harley Quinn series down the line that do a little bit more of that, a little more stylized. And so seeing her in the real world, it's hard to really like figure out what they're going to do with her. But so the first issue, she breaks Joker out of jail, out of Arkham.
He was super appreciative of that too.
So this is the first time we've had him since the Emperor Joker thing. So she's all like, oh, I hurt him with the explosion or whatever. And we find out that he's actually faking being injured. I kind of like the narrative of like, what if he's still kind of dopey from like the potential of having all of Bruce's like nightmares put into his head at the end of Emperor Joker, if that is the way we wanted to go with what happened to Bruce's trauma. So I kind of liked that moment, but...
Yeah, no, that I also, because you don't initially know that it's her. She's dressed up as Poison Ivy. And
yeah,
I was like,
she went to the Matches Malone School of Disguise.
And I was like, oh, dying, and Poison Ivy's in jail too. So it fits with her, where we last saw her getting pulled out of Robinson Park. I'm like, oh, this is perfect in the timeline. And then it's not actually Poison Ivy. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Oops.
I was like, why is Ivy in the second? Okay, I guess this isn't Arkham, or it is Arkham, but it just seemed very odd. Like I was confused on why is Ivy here, and so sorry.
Yeah, no, it was unclear. And then I'm also like, oh, Ivy, yay! And I'm like, no, wait, no, there's no Ivy. So there's just yeah. So Joker is not appreciative, and Joker's like, I gotta get rid of her. And the first issue is an extended length issue. So I think it's double. I think it's like 48 or 40 something. And it ends with her admitting out loud to Poison Ivy that the Joker was in fact trying to kill her, which is a big deal because it's kind of all of her episodes of the cartoon show would have this like, oh, he hates me, I hate him. But then at the end, she goes back to him. And so this sets up her ongoing series with an issue that ends with, no, I'm not going back to him. And so these issues really play with, is she going to be on her own and how is that going to work?
It was, and maybe this is more of a later in the episode discussion, but I don't know. It was shocking to me reading all seven of issues of here, how much this ended up being kind of the skeleton of what they did with the HBO cartoon, right? Mm-hmm. So it starts with her being with Joker, trying to be his loyal henchman, finally having enough of him, being woken up to that reality by Harley or by Poison Ivy, and then having to like do the goon tryouts and everything and get her own team together and start going out on her own. I'm like, oh, well, obviously the creators of the HBO show were kind of using this as their guiding light for what they were doing.
What'd you think about the goons, Aaron?
I like the goon tryouts. They had some funny ones that didn't make the cut, and some other guys that... So there was one guy that totally thought he was the Joker, or looked like the Joker, and she kept him on, and then some other people that like clearly had no business showing up. And
well, I feel like Aaron would have completely flip-flopped the teams if he was doing the tryouts. He'd be like, yes, weird guy who says that he has superpowers, but then doesn't have superpowers. You're on the team.
Oh, 100%.
And some of the ones were people that she had worked with before and had been on the Joker's crew. And once the Joker like was out of the picture in the book, he doesn't... I can't remember. I've read it a little bit. He doesn't show up again. Right?
No.
Correct.
No.
Yeah, not
so
in,
once
not
he's
in
out
these.
Of the initial story at the beginning, he's not in it any longer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Batman doesn't make an appearance until it was 5 or 6. We don't actually see Batman. So,
and when we do, we barely see him.
Yeah, it's like a reference photo or a reference frame.
Bruce Wayne is in the first issue.
Yes.
I really, really liked that we didn't have Batman. I thought it was really important to say she is a DC character. She's a Batman character. Mm-hmm. She's a Gotham character. But we're not relying on the Joker, and we're not relying on Batman.
Right.
you need to acknowledge that Batman exists, which they did, and you need the Joker to get her story started. So I really admire that they went there. And like you said, it is the framework for any future Harley Quinn stories.
Well, I really like that slice of life in Gotham City style of storytelling. I've kind of been more aware of it with the Gotham Knights, where like all of this stuff is happening in Gotham City all the time, and we're usually hyper-focused on how that relates to Batman and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. But while Batman's off adventuring or being caught in a fucking net or, you know,
right,
knocking fish off his legs, all these other people have lives that are going on too, and I like that it's exploring their lives without him.
Mm-hmm. I think that's it's good that in that sense. It allows you to... allows Harley to kind of find out who she was, find these other people, who they are, and really kind of branch out. Because, you know, when Batman's doing his thing and going around, you're focused on just that small, narrow lens of Batman and what he's trying to accomplish, where Gotham is huge. I'm imagining it's the size. I don't know if we've ever had, like, the size description, but when we were doing No Man's Land and it was all factioned off, it seemed huge compared to, like, New York City and all the boroughs and other things. So there's going to be nonsense going on everywhere. Like, yeah, we're in St. Louis, and St. Louis is a big city, but it's nowhere near the size of New York City.
Yeah.
So the amount of stuff going on in that area and what's happening over here with Harley and who she's dealing with, I think it's good to allow those characters to have their own place, their own way to evolve and to tell their story.
And there's no way that Batman and his Bat family could be everywhere at once. So some of these people can exist without him watching.
Well, I think there's like one line in here where they're like, if Batman's not watching, like they're all aware. I feel like the Bat family knows kind of what's going on a little bit with everyone throughout the city, but it's just a priority thing. Like, Harley isn't actively doing anything here that requires Batman right now. So it allows for, you know, whatever. I think there is an issue where we see all of the different... Yeah, there is. Once near the end, when Wayne Manor is under attack, we see a little panel at the bottom of a page of all the different Bat family members and what they're doing.
Right.
And what's funny about that is the one with Tim, with Robin, is like a cover of a Robin issue. And I'm assuming it's the one that happens right around here. It's him with some like Yetis on a mountain or something. Yeah. So Batman's like underwater. And I was like, oh, is he fighting Orca?
Yeah, I couldn't tell what those things were. I like wrote wolf people or something. So,
I'll show you the cover after
this. Very
odd. It was very silly.
Yeah.
But it was cool because it acknowledged that they're all doing their own stories.
Yeah, yeah. And the way that all of this stuff is happening in Gotham, everybody kind of has their own take on it, and we're still recovering from No Man's Land. So the first story arc starts with this guy named...
Jack Happy.
Jack Happy. He wants to reestablish tourism in Gotham by building Happy Land.
Right, yeah.
Because there's got to be a theme park.
There has to be.
Right. Like, how many roller coasters and attractions have we seen? Like
27.
Yeah.
So many.
I mean, who are not...
All around these clowns.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. They have to have a whistleblower for when they're like, okay, now where are we going to put the fun house? Where's the fun house going to go,
beep,
guys?
No fun house. Nope, definitely not.
And I just don't understand how they keep allowing these people to come in and do these things.
Well, and so Harley and her goons, they fake like that they're roller coaster inspectors or something, or amusement park inspectors. Yeah. And they go in and she's dressed as Dr. Quinzel, you know, as her alternative. And they go in and just modify the rides to make them even more chaotic and dangerous. And did you get the feeling when they're like, when that Jack Happy's like introducing and showing that there's all these fake replica people of all superheroes, of Batman and Robin and the villains and stuff? Did it remind you of like Six Flags?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So, he wants to, he's worried that tourism isn't coming to Gotham because of the fear of the villains and Batman specifically. So he has over-the-top, very cheesy versions of all these characters, which he can't remember the real names of to save his life.
And his...
populating his amusement park.
His mistress is like, oh, honey, no, it's really this. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. And Harley is not present because Harley's not important enough to be at the amusement park.
But
like a gimmick Harley isn't.
Even though I wasn't as into Batman back then, when Six Flags St. Louis opened their Batman ride and they drove the 89 Batmobile in and just like all of the craziness that used to be around and that like how
the
exciting
Mr.
and
Freeze.
New it was.
It was all very cool.
They had the police car with water shooting out of it. You know, yeah, it was pretty.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I think I remember that one.
It was a good time.
It was fun.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. So the second issue in this little saga is Two-Face. And I just love when any Bat title makes their second issue be Two-Face.
Yeah.
The cartoon.
That's kind of appropriate.
Comics used to do it. This did it. I just thought it was great. And I really liked the story. So Jack Happy has a mistress and a wife, and they're the same person. And Two-Face is like, oh, I want this broad. She nuts just like me. There's two of them. Two in one body. Let's go. I thought that was hilarious. Like, yeah, I thought it was really smart.
Yeah. Well, and it gives kind of a heroic moment for Harley because she's like, she tries to join Two-Face's crew. She's like, mm-hmm. I've never been on my own. I don't know what to do. So she's going to join Two-Face's crew. And when he switches from pulling a heist to, no, I'm going to kidnap and make her mine, Harley steps in and is defending this woman mm-hmm. and defending her from what is most likely a very abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah.
So is that the first heroic thing Harley does? Is that the first
It's definitely
glimmer?
The first we've kind of seen of her, at least in our reading so mm-hmm. far.
So it'll be interesting how this series... I looked it up because I know when I stopped buying them, I wanted an even 12, so I have the first 12. I looked up to see how long it goes. It only goes to like 40 issues.
38.
38.
Oh, really?
38 issues.
And then there's years before she gets another solo. She has a Gotham Girls or Gotham Siren. It's called Gotham Siren series, which is Harley, Catwoman, and Ivy. And I don't know how long that lasts.
She becomes a pretty big regular in Birds of Prey.
Okay. So she's around, but not till she gets a Harley Quinn number one through whatever is years after this.
I don't think it's till the New 52 that she gets her own standalone.
I think you're right. Yeah. Oh, wow. And that's when they dramatically change her look.
And night.
Dun, dun.
Obviously, you know, it was canceled or for whatever reasons at issue 38, but it's nice because you can get it the entire run in just four trades. It's only four trades long. They ended up collecting one of the trades with extra weight in it to finish the whole series.
Oh, so that's nice.
It wasn't quite enough for five. So
I like how she convinces Two-Face to let her join. She's like, well, my costume is kind of half and half.
He's like... Damn you and your logic.
And I will. You'd be my second master criminal that I'd work mm-hmm. for. And
lots of puns through this whole thing. They really play all the two jokes, and then when Riddler shows up, they really play all jokes with that. Carl. I think Carl did overall a pretty good job with a really hard task.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I like that Two-Face issue, and it did have. We did have Jack Happy there. Who wants to hire Two-Face's goons to go after Harley, which then became like a reoccurring theme in these books. Is that something that Jake is going to show up in the rest of that trade? Is that like one of the big central themes is this guy is trying to hunt her down?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I haven't researched too far ahead with Harley other than where it comes into like big crossover events and stuff. So
I will say something that's interesting that we've kind of talked about with some of these other characters getting their own series. The Batgirl series that we read the first few issues of recently, and also Azrael, I personally was never impressed with their supporting cast or felt like they really gave them much of a supporting cast. She definitely gets a supporting cast here.
Oh, yeah.
She's mm-hmm. got the people going after her, a couple different factions of people going after her. She's got her goons. I thought it was
Well, I love that definitely her main... created. Antagonist is just a slighted amusement park owner who's pissed off that she
I feel like he's
his...
probably got some mob ties.
I'm
as
sure,
as
yeah.
He, does,
but... he didn't seem like everything was above board, but he's just mad that she ruined his amusement park.
I do like that her main henchman is trying to write a book on like his memoirs of a henchman, of Joker's henchman.
Right.
Mm. Lewis.
And he's like, when the Joker finally golfs me, this is going to make my kid rich.
So. It's like, oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked Lewis. Lewis definitely
you know
felt...
coming for you.
He definitely felt fleshed out. And then there was the big one who just wanted to hurt people. And then there's the one that just name drops all the other villains. I thought that was funny. And I was excited for each issue to see who he was going to have worked with in the past, because he was mentioning pretty much all of the... He was like, oh, well, Mad Hatter, we had to do this, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I think the two Bear Brothers we've actually had in before.
Oh.
I think they were existing characters. Lewis and... Oh, you just said it. Who's the big guy?
I didn't say his name.
Bruiser? Is it Bruiser?
I don't remember. I don't know if I wrote it down.
Buster.
Oh, yeah.
Buster.
Then there's an ongoing joke. So she's got her main core, and then for the next couple of issues, each issue she gets a new hench person, and that person either gets arrested or dies that issue.
Right.
Which was kind of funny.
Well, and I love that the two main ones, Buster and Lewis, they're just kind of guys. They're just goons. Yeah. They don't have a big gimmick to them or anything, and they're just kind of... They all, I think, lean into that. Like, she's just this little entity in this big city of all this craziness happening, so much so that she's not really even affecting anything major at this point.
Mm-hmm. An issue I did not particularly care for. She has a slumber party. So I was really...
I thought going to be problems with that one for you.
Yeah, I thought you would have actually enjoyed that one.
There's a pair of characters.
Was it the body doubles? Body doubles. Yeah.
Is that their names?
The body doubles.
So the body doubles, they're wearing the least amount of clothing possible to hang out with a bunch of gals. And I'm like, okay, your 2001 comic book art still.
But there's
a lot
of
see their vaginas
about them
there
in that.
Is, but it's still written by men, mostly for men at this point. All the characters in that issue were ladies, and it was a lot of catfighting, quote unquote. There were some moments where I was like, okay, this is kind of a strong female moment, and then a lot of things I'm like, no, it's dated. But
Aaron, would you say that this is time for a
Sandra Soba?
I'm already off it. It was a quick one.
Okay.
But Mercy was there. We got Mercy.
That was
Mercy
important.
And Hope were both there, yeah.
And they mention what'd they say? President-elect Luther.
Which we will get to next episode.
So I was like, okay, well, there's the continuity tie-in, I guess.
That was when I messaged Jake that he done messed up the continuity.
So
I know. It all goes back and forth.
It's all running concurrently. And although you hated this issue, I don't think you can deny how amazing the freaking cover is, though.
I didn't hate it. It just had... Yes.
To the cover.
They're having a pillow fight, and Harley shot a hole through a pillow, and Poison Ivy's peeking through. It's very... And there's a stuffed Joker and a stuffed hyena. We'll get to it with my reviews. I'm very torn on this whole thing.
And I love that Catwoman, like, regrettably shows up not knowing what she had been accidentally invited to. And she's like, well, I haven't decided if I'm staying yet.
Because there was an ad posted online that was hidden in, like, code. And that only, I guess, female villains are able to uncover the code and show up.
Who is Thorn? Thorn is like the big reveal of like, oh, I'm actually here to help save the pizza boy.
Yeah, I cared so little I didn't even look her up, and I don't know who she is.
I feel like
somebody.
She's popped up in like some Superman book I have, but I don't
know.
Oh,
they did make fun of the blue Superman outfit.
They did make fun of blue Superman.
Yes, it's very tongue-in-cheek. I didn't hate it. No, it was that you could see their vaginas. Their outfits had like...
I'm sorry.
Skin-colored gaffs.
Sorry that vaginas scare you, Ben.
No, they don't scare me. I respect and love a vagina. Without vaginas, none of us would be here. I'm not anti-vagina. I am anti these bimbos drawn.
It's not going to get you, Ben. Don't worry.
That is not what I am saying. For the record, I am not anti-vagina. I am past the point of wanting scantily clad females who are not powerful. But I can respect that it's satirical.
I would like you guys to remember Jewel, the one that gets too drunk, and
yes.
Julie or Jewel.
Yeah, who the hell was that? Punch? Her boyfriend Punch?
Yeah, her boyfriend Punchy.
Okay.
They may not show up again for a very long time, but I can promise they will show up again down the line because I know exactly the story that they come in. So
perfect.
Punchy and Jewel. Got
but
it.
Like when
you
I
will have to remind us.
I will forget that.
It's a modern Batman story, and I'm like reading it, and I'm like, I have no idea who Jewel and Punchy are, Skip. And then they end up being a big part of it. I'm like, oh God, now I gotta figure out who these fucking people are. I'd never read anything with them, and then they show up in this. I'm like, ah, it's Jewel.
Oh, weird.
That's funny.
And Poison Ivy's there. Yeah, it was a fun issue that fit, I think, with what they're trying to do with the story, where it is supposed to be that Harley lives a cartoon life in the real world. Like, to her reality is so broken and messed up that this is a normal way for her to celebrate her first caper or her first successes. And she wants to put a girls' team together and all this kind of stuff.
And it's a natural progression. So issue one, it's, okay, the Joker. I love the Joker and I'm his sidekick. Issue two, okay, maybe I'll be the sidekick to a different villain, Two-Face. Issue three, okay, I'm out on my own with women. And the issue ends with her being like, I'm going to go get a gang. So issue four is the gang auditions, the sidekick audition. So I thought it was, it made sense from a month to month how it's progressing. So.
Yeah, no, the progression makes sense, and I think it was done well moving that way, and I like that the big caper, once she gets all her henchmen together, they think they're going to go make some money, is to go to the zoo and steal the hyenas back.
Yes, she has to go get the hyenas.
Well, one of them was like, oh yes, we're breaking out the Joker, we can get back to serious stuff.
And then the one guy's saying, I am the Joker.
Yes, that was that one, but yeah. I'm glad she got her hyenas.
Yep.
Yeah, everyone needs them.
And then they go and break into a giant prop factory and steal a helmet. And
just doing the stupidest thing.
Yeah. Which I love. That's kind of like the henchmen was like, I ain't going to get no payday. What's going on? I can't sell this.
Well, and there was enough money. Through story with like the bodyguards. So I think you mentioned it early that Jack Happy ends up hiring the previous bodyguards and an FBI agent to find Harley Quinn, right? And so there's these guys who are like not really super invested in the task, trying to hunt down this master costume criminal, and you can't predict what she's gonna do because she's so fucking random and crazy.
She is kind of random and crazy.
Yeah.
And then the big heist, the big next storyline here to wrap up this seven issues is breaking into Wayne Manor.
Yeah, to steal all the loot. And there's rumors there's a secret passageway there. Did anybody hear those rumors before?
There's rumors, yes. Yeah.
It was funny. I like that heist that, you know, like, are they going to get close to finding the Batcave? Are they going to get anywhere near it? Are they just going to get... Is Batman just watching and Alfred just watching from some room with popcorn being like, let's see how this goes. There's all these morons.
It's Oracle's watching. Yeah. And she's like, I can't do anything. Like, everybody's fucking busy. And they're supposed to be having a party. This was just supposed to be a nice party. And
I think there's a line where she either says she doesn't get paid enough or she's like, I don't have time for this. Like, the things I do for that man, I think, is something she's...
Oh, yeah, that's when...
And she calls in some random hero, whoever she can find.
Yes.
The JLA Reserve.
There's Sasha Bordeaux is there trying to keep Bruce in her sights because he keeps running away from her.
Yeah.
The bodyguard that we just met an issue or two, two ago.
And then when he's not there anymore, they go to his room and pick up his phone and try to star 69. And that's when Oracle has to be Bambi on the other line. So
Bambi.
But that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But yes, so she does get a hold of the one person she can get down to Wayne Manor in time, and it's Big Barda.
Is that like a character that shows up in...
Oh,
GLA?
Yes.
Okay.
So Big Barda. So earlier, was that at the end of the slumber
stupid.
Party? When,
she's real dumb.
Hey, she's from an alien planet. Come on.
Don't mean she's not dumb.
Jake's only defending her because she's connected to Darkseid.
Yeah, so it's it's at the end of the slumber party issue where the female Furies show up randomly for no reason to the slumber party and then they leave. Big Barda was previously a female Fury and then she converted to being a good person.
I see.
And so when Oracle realizes that they can't get any loot, and so their last ditch effort to get something out of this heist that's gone to the complete shitter is to steal this old grandfather clock in the hallway that they find. And she's like, Barta, whatever you do, whatever it costs, do not let them get to that grandfather clock. So, like, that whole wing of Wayne Manor ends up getting destroyed by Big Barta.
And Harley is like, oh, there's a secret lair. And the Riddler, because the Riddler's there, is like, oh, there's a secret lair. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
What do they know?
Yeah.
Who knows and what? Will that come into play?
And I like the Riddler. He's a great character because he sabotages himself in every storyline and everything he does. And it's just like, dude, if you just, you could be like the mastermind, but you could send a clue like maybe an hour, like send like an email with a delay send. Like,
it's almost like he has a character flaw and his mental illness keeps him from succeeding because all these villains just need therapy.
Yeah.
Much like Bruce Wayne.
Something like that, yeah.
Any other big pieces you guys want to talk about? I was a little disappointed that Black Canary was mentioned quite a bit and didn't show up for Aaron.
I'm very glad
she was on the beach.
Maybe we'll get some of her soon.
Great.
Woohoo.
Because I'm going to force it in.
I'm sure you will.
Oh, all right. Reviews.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled.
That was
awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
No!
I thought it was enjoyable. It's not serious by any stretch, which is kind of nice. It's fun to read something that doesn't take itself seriously and characters that, you know, are going to survive whatever carnage is thrown at them and not have to really worry about it too much. It's fun. It was a fun read. Do you have to read it for the podcast? No, but it probably brings in some things, and it's good to see where she is on her own. But yeah.
I think my first critique when I was reading it was like, while the issues, though they have kind of an ongoing story, seem really disconnected and they're just kind of like little pockets of time. But then I'm like, well, that works really well because then she can go and run around in the other books and she's not pigeonholed into her own adventures. Like her goons are just hanging out and she goes and does a job with Poison Ivy in a different, you know, Detective Comics or something like that. So I ended up liking it a lot more after that kind of hit me. I was really impressed with, or really surprised with how connected to the HBO show it was.
Yeah.
And then I had fun reading it. There's several moments I chuckled out loud, and I really like the art. It's very strong. I didn't like the back and forth between the cartoony and the more traditional comic book, but I enjoyed. Yeah, I don't know that it changes a whole lot in the timeline, other than this is where we see Harley take off on her own and start to emancipate herself from the Joker.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After all my huffing and puffing, I actually did enjoy it, but it was weird because I had this like bad taste going into it. So I was looking for things. I was like, why did I not like this? Hmm. And so kind of looking at it from that perspective, but while we were even talking about it just now, I'm like, I'm only saying nice things. I actually do. I think it's actually pretty well done.
What
do
I say when I hate? I can't remember.
It's a little dated, but I do think it's super important to her popularity and her growth and what happens with this character. She's one of the most popular DC characters, period, like top five or six DC popular characters right now, period. And so this being her first thing, I do think if you like the Batman world at all, you should read this. It's a little dated. There's a couple little moments. And I don't like the art. I think that's the main thing. I think it's very good.
You think it's too cheesecakey?
No. I wanted it more. I wanted it stylized. I wanted it more cartoony. I wanted a floating around 1992 animated heart. Yeah. That's just me. It's very good art. It's Harley in the real world. But I don't think I want that. I would rather almost see it from her view where it's all just kind of askew. I think that's what back in the day, 14-year-old Ben was like, I can't make this connection. I want it to be more cartoony.
That makes sense.
But I liked everything else. I think the art is good. It just wasn't my style. With all that being said, the other five issues that I have of this, I probably, if we're not reading them for the podcast, I might keep reading them to see if there's something that happens in those five that is like, I'm done. But it was probably just 14-year-old Ben only had so much money. He could only buy so many books monthly.
Yeah. In 2001, there's a lot of stuff coming out that you were into. So. Yeah,
absolutely. And I didn't have a job at that point. So I was probably like, I can't be able to buy this book anymore. So.
Fair. That's fair.
Cool. All right. What's next, Jake?
Well, we had a book about a villain. Why don't we keep that rolling?
Woohoo!
And unfortunately, where you didn't like how connected to the real world the art he was, we might have a story that's more connected to the real world than we're necessarily comfortable with.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We are going to read a trade paperback titled Superman, President Lex.
Was it written in 2016?
No, it wasn't. Let's hope that
gonna make me angry.
That a
it's real
public facing person that wins over the popular vote and
this is a story that's so ridiculous that you'd be like, this could never happen. So get excited!
Let's save
I'm very
that for next week.
I'm
guys.
Very excited. I'm very excited to read this. Right. I've read issues of it. I've read a lot of this. The art here will annoy Jake because each issue is going to be a different art style.
Yes.
It's Superman.
And we are going to read the trade paperback. So this trade paperback does collect, like, there are a few issues that are just the pages that relate to the President Lex story pulled out and put into the collection. So it's not a straight run of issues. Okay. Hopefully it reads well. I haven't read it yet.
All right.
What do we learn, Aaron?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Oh, so many things, Ben. Joker needs to work on his appreciation of others.
He does.
Yeah. He definitely does.
Yeah.
For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Hopes of bitterness cleanse the city.